This is Radioactive Sports with superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson.
I take pride in my hair.
Feel that? Radioactive Sports in the afternoon on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
As difficult as it was, you know, and as frustrating and disappointing as that game is, we're going up against the team that won the division. That's a good team. So it's so obviously frustrating not to be up 3-1. We had that opportunity tonight, but it's a pretty darn good team that we're playing there, and now it's best of three. We've got a pretty good team ourselves, and yeah, I think we should get excited for these next couple games.
Forget about it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't make a difference if we lost 1-0 or lost the way we did. It's 2-2, and you know, we got better than that. I got better than that. We all got better than that, and we'll get back at it in St. Louis. It really doesn't make a difference. 2-2 series.
That's how you take the loss, though, right there. That's the attitude you have to have, especially if you're Dubnyk and you have been just lights out good. When something like this happened, I wondered what was going to happen to him. I wondered how he would be. I wondered what he would be like if he had to go take a seat, which I saw last night in the 6-1 debacle down at the Xcel Energy Center. The St. Louis Blues pretty much having their way from the start against your Minnesota Wild, 6-1. Pretty good.
I'm not claiming I'm your Minnesota Wild. I mean, after last night's game, no way. As soon as the first goal went, I said, that's it. We're going to lose the game. Wow. The people I was hanging out with were like, stop it. You're being so pessimistic. I said, no, the way that it goes is the Minnesota Wild, whoever scores first against the Minnesota Wild, whether it be the Wild or the opponent, that team wins. It's just the way that it is. And then all of a sudden, 6,500 more goals came in the next like 13 seconds. And I said, yeah, see, I told you so.
You did. I mean, it ended up being 6,500-1.
I feel like
that's a lot of goals.
The Minnesota Wild came out just, I don't know if it was cocky or what the heck was going on, but as soon as Devan Dubnyk allowed that first goal and then the second goal and then the third goal right away in the first period, then he gave up too. It was like, well, Mike Yost said, nobody gave up onto the ice. No one gave up.
I mean, come on. No, I just, when you're flat, you're flat. You give everything you've got to win these things.
The way Devan Dubnyk looked out there. And some of those goals were going past him.
Well, let's talk about what he's been through up till now, though. Let's talk about the difference he's made, and how many times can you go to the pump? How many times can you go to the well?
We talked about this down the stretch. You got to give him some rest, but you do. But he didn't want to take a rest.
Well, we wouldn't have made it. Quite frankly, we wouldn't have made it to the playoffs if we had rested him.
Would you say it's Devan Dubnyk's fault or the rest of the team's fault? I think it's more of the team's fault the way they came out and let the Blues just manhandle them.
Well, I think so.
There was nothing stopping the pucks going between Devan Dubnyk and the St. Louis Blues.
I agree, but you also have to think about the Blues. I mean, do you think they're not going to fight tooth and nail? We knew they were going to. They had to. They were fighting for their very life. We play pretty good on the road. They know that. I mean, they can't go 3-1.
I have the Blues.
Is it BB King? Who is this? I can tell you this. That's a pretty good team. They've got a pretty good team. It's not just all the brawn and the intimidation and we'll check you into the boards and we'll play tough guy. I mean, they can skate too. I mean, they can certainly shoot. They can shoot the puck.
There's a reason they won the Central Division.
They're on fire.
109 points or something like that in the regular season.
You can run into a buzzsaw. They were on last night. They had to cross-check each other in the locker room after the last loss, and they said, look, this is getting pretty close to being done. If we don't come out, and they had to remotivate and find what we had to find after third game. I mean, we got beat 4-1, right, Saturday?
I don't know. I've got the Blues. Oh. I'm having a hard time paying attention.
Well, we did.
651-989-9105. That's your phone number. Call us and tell us what you think about the Wild game. 651-989-9105. Honest to God, didn't get to bed till a little after midnight last night, 12:30-ish. Yeah, it takes a while for you to calm down a little after that game. And this morning, I thought, what the heck is wrong with me? I'm so emotionally invested in this team.
We all are.
But then I realized the Wild do their best work with their backs against the wall and then on the road. I mean, that's the way that they came from 13th place in the Western Conference all the way up to a wild card spot. Yeah. Where are they right now? They're going back on the road. Their backs are against the wall. Best of three series. They've lost home ice advantage again. Three games to go. Tomorrow night in St. Louis. Sunday back here. The Xcel Energy Center giving away giving a little by little, Red Rooster.
Some Red Rooster.
No, we have suite tickets we're giving away at Tom Reed's, I think, on Sunday before the game. Come on down and hang out. And then game seven, we'll be back down in St. Louis.
Suite tickets for that playoff game on Sunday.
I believe two pair of suite tickets from what I'm hearing.
Wow. Wait just a minute. We only have one pair. I think that other pair got lost.
Don't do that to me again. That was yesterday.
I'll be darned. I found a pair of the suite tickets here in my back pocket that I stole. No, we'll do it. We'll give them away. Trust me, we'll give them away. And look, it's onward and upward.
You have the blues?
Yeah.
You have the blues too?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. B.B. King.
More of the sad and lonely blues.
Yeah, this is sad and lonely right here, certainly. Dubnyk sounded good, I think, though. Sitting on the bench, what do you look for on the bench when you find a player over on the bench that has either been sat down or something has just happened that was pretty bad, pretty awful, and they got to come over and take a seat? Say a certain quarterback comes over after a bad series or an interception or whatever the case. Say it's Jay Cutler.
Mm-hmm.
What does that tell you when you look at him?
He has diabetes.
He has diabetes, and he's pouting.
Doobie-Doo wasn't pouting last night.
He was not pouting.
It was the weirdest blowout, too, at the same time, don't you think? Because it's almost like the Wild and the Dubinator. Specifically, the Dubinator was like, meh, you know what? Like you said in that clip.
I love that guy.
Whether we lose 1-0 or 6-1, it's still a loss. We're still tied up 2-2. Still now a best-of-three series.
On the road, 2-2.
It's almost like with the deluge of goals, they were almost laughing at themselves going, well, this got away from us, and just try and skate out the rest of the game here and get out of here and go down to St. Louis. The fans, the Blues fan or the Minnesota Wild fans, if you were at the game last night, call us. Just a ton of boos after every period, booing the Wild off the ice.
Oh, yeah. I like that. If you're like one of the bad guys in sports, you just wait for that. If you're Steve Ott, you'd take that at home or away. He loves that kind of stuff. You have to learn to be that way. You have to learn to like that, too.
But how do you think the Minnesota Wild felt when...
Pretty rough. I mean, obviously, with the way they took off...
The home ice advantage, for God's sakes, was booing you off the ice at your home just a couple of days after the fact that it was the loudest arena in the NHL.
Well, people need to relax around here. That whole arena needs to relax.
They deserve to be booed.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
They came out and got their ass kicked by a good team that found themselves finally.
They didn't even get their ass kicked.
This team
was the worst game I'd ever seen.
Well, it was a horrible game. Give them a break. They're there in the playoffs. They've done well. They've figured out this is the St. Louis Blues. I don't think any of us thought we'd be in this thing and be in the thick of it the way things started this year. These fans need to settle down. This is a pretty damn good team, at least in terms of Minnesota fans.
I think Minnesota had every right to boo them, and they should have booed them louder.
Don't boo them. Just be a real fan and take your ass whooping.
I think that's being a real fan.
Just take your ass whooping.
11 Blues had a point
I'm
last night.
I'm behind my
every
team.
Every Wild player but Nino Niederreiter recorded a minus rating.
That's okay. Well...
The Dubinator set a franchise record for goals allowed in a playoff game before the second period even ended.
That's all right. Well, we learned a lot. We learned a lot. I'll tell you what, it was kind of good to see a few things. Kemper came in and saved a few shots from going in. Third period, I don't think he allowed a goal.
He didn't allow a goal.
He didn't allow
a goal. They were already down 1,300 to nothing, though, at that point.
Yeah, it got a little out of control.
A little.
Son of a bitch.
A little.
I applaud these guys on everything they've done this year. It's a body of work, and I'm not going to one game and say it's time to boo these guys. These guys have been incredible. They've been spitting chiclets all year.
You're paying $400 a seat for a ticket for last night's game, and they show and they come out and they play that kind of hockey. They deserve to be booed last night.
I understand. Look, they're well paid.
We have some of the
highest paid athletes in hockey on our team. Two of them, probably Suter and Parise. But I understand when things go bad and they crap the bed, they take a poop on all the fans. Because I've been on the end of that before. People don't get it.
Like, on the end of a good pooping?
The other team is good too. It's the playoffs. I got beat on a team. Let's see, what year was that? It was like 90. I want to say it was like 92 or 93. We went into the playoffs against the Washington Redskins. Didn't score a single point. Chip Lowmiller kicked five field goals. We lost 15-0. I'm like, son of a bitch. Yeah. A kicker beat us. Yeah. Five field goals. Chip Lowmiller, great kicker, University of Minnesota. Mm. He's a fireman now. That's what he does. Mm. Has some real estate too. It happens. It just happens. I'm not gonna go against him or boo him.
I'm not gonna boo him.
You booed him last night. You booed him right from your very chair in front of, and probably your favorite establishment with your friends, just getting sloshed, and you were booing him, and they were trying to keep you glued together.
Well, and of course, I had that whole face painting thing going on, which I posted to Twitter yesterday.
Yeah.
I walked into the joint last night, and people asked me, honest to God, like the manager came over and asked me. I love everybody over there at Stouts, by the way.
Stouts.
They came over and asked me. I'm not going to tell you who's asking, but they want to know if that tattoo hurt. It was just face painting at Tom Reed's.
What's wrong with people?
I said, are you kidding me? They think it's a real tattoo.
Come on. I'm sure you would go and say, can you please give me a green and red wild tattoo and kind of dress it up around the eye and make me look as much like Mike Tyson as you can?
Idiots.
Idiots. I mean, they must have been smashed.
No, they weren't. They weren't. They're just stupid.
It looked pretty cool. If you'd done that in black, that would have been pretty badass.
That would have been pretty badass.
Yeah, I kind of liked it for that reason. I'm behind these guys 100%. I don't know if they even should be in the playoffs right now, but Fletcher got the right guy in here, and they're there.
Doug from Richfield, you're on 105 The Ticket. What's
Who
up,
is this,
friend?
Duck?
Doug.
Oh.
Doug.
Yeah. What's going on?
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm good. I was just want to make a comment. I don't know if you watch the Blues. They have a better way of entering their offensive zone. They carry the puck through without Chris passing, and a while they just shoot it in and shoot and chase. And I think they've been lucky not to lose before. The first period of the first game, St. Louis was in our zone the whole time, pretty much.
Yeah. Let me stop you there. Would you have said that was the case in the game before this one? Because it seemed to me like we were controlling getting on the puck and knocking them off the puck the entire game, all three periods.
Yeah, the game before this last game, we did play better, but...
But that's Doug, that's the way that the Wild have played all season. It's like they get to the blue line, then they dump it in, and then what Tom Reed was saying, that the Minnesota Wild have done a really good job of this series is dumping it in and then going to dig it out in the corner. And that's what they do. It drives me insane the same exact way, because they'll dump it in, rush the forecheck or whatever, and then or they'll just dump it in and then they'll change lines. Drives me absolutely insane. I hate it.
You lost the caller.
You lost the zone right away. It's who the Wild don't have the time in there that it takes to. It seems like they're sending in two guys sometimes, and St. Louis is turning it around and coming back again.
Well. A lot of hockey left to play, and I would just say that we just ran into a buzzsaw. Sometimes it happens where you don't start fast enough. The other team gets a jump start somehow based on your lack of pulling everything together and being on the same page with your teammates. Them clicking, hitting on all cylinders, and certainly desperate to start correctly and to end it with a win. They needed that last night. It's a bad chemistry. You're going to get your ass kicked every now and then.
You feel like last night's game was so out of hand, so out of control that it almost becomes jokeable, almost laughable? Or do you feel like last night's performance by the Blues were so dominating that it's going to shift the momentum?
No, it won't shift.
It's a laughable game, as far as I was concerned.
It's a laughable game. We lost 4-1 at their place the last game we played down there, last Saturday, right? 4-1. Okay, it's 6-1 this time. So it got bad. It got really bad and really quick, and that was by the third period.
Second period.
I know, before the third period, that had been done. That much damage had been done.
Unbelievable. Thanks, Doug, for calling. Really appreciate that. I'm sure we'll have to talk about some more Wildcraft the rest of the day. Not too much of it. We'll talk about the NFL draft, 4.5 questions. What exactly the Vikings are doing down at Winter Park this week? I have a hypothetical question about Adrian Peterson coming up. Jim Rich talking Wild, I guess. Mike Berardino, Twins talk.
You guess.
Pete Wagner. He always gets fired up about the Wild. We'll talk to him at 6:12.
He does.
He hosts On the Ice for 105 The Ticket. NFL draft value chart, all sorts of things coming up on today's program.
Tons of crap. Don't miss it. It's going to be a lot of fun. Hang on with us. And you know what? You hang around with us, we'll have you farting through silk pajamas soon. Dane Brugler next. This is going to be good, man. Yeah. You know what? This is Radioactive Sports. Superstar Mike Morris, Ben Holson will bring you Dane Brugler, senior NFL draft analyst, and that's for CBS Sports and NFLDraftScout.com. Come on back.
Your home for hockey talk in the Twin Cities on the ice, hosted by Pete.
Let's talk about the draft. Who are you going to take?
What's happening?
Who are you picking?
They always call him Mr. Pat Brown.
Draft day.
We talk football?
We can always talk football.
Let's go get him.
Draft day. History in the making.
Time to get paid.
Pay me my money.
I was fortunate enough to be drafted.
One thing I wish you'd do for me.
What?
Win.
Just win, baby.
We'll give a great big year. All right. The hero of the year. Mr. Touchdown,
you have been. Boy, is this great.
Oh, man. You're just anxious. You just don't know who's going to pick you. You don't know where you're going to end up. You're just ready to get the whole situation, the whole ordeal over, and just get to your team and just get it started.
Yeah, that's what you do.
It's okay.
What you do is you just hang on by the phone like I had to back in 1986. They didn't call.
It's unfortunate.
So anyway.
Pretty much your regular Friday and Saturday nights in high school, too, it sounds like.
Pretty much the same thing. I was hanging on by the phone just to see if my date would pick up the phone and call me.
She was too busy washing her hair.
She also told me that she didn't really think that I would turn out to be much more than a sunglass-wearing, motorcycle-riding...
Black t-shirt-wearing... What do you know?
Long-snapping, weightlifting, punk loser.
Wow, that's
and
exactly
you know what?
Happening.
I hate it when she's right!
That's exactly
I hate it when they're right, anyway. We've got someone who is not a punk loser.
No.
Joining us right now. Hopefully, we can get something out of him that will help you all with your draft coverage. The up and coming draft, not very far away. It seems like just a week from today. Does it seem that close or is it that close?
It is.
All right. Well, we have Dane Brugler. He's been on with us many times before because, well, he's very good at what he does, and we love having him on. He is a senior NFL draft analyst for CBS Sports and NFLDraftScout.com. Dane Brugler, how are you, sir?
I'm good, and I can't tell you how good it felt this morning to wake up knowing 1 week away, and, you know, it's the draft's fun because we can talk about all the scenarios, examine all the possibilities, but, yeah, I'm with you guys. I'm ready for it to be here, and, you know, we can talk about, you know, the reaction to everything happening. So 1 week.
Dane Brugler, the best in the business. We love having him on. He's fantastic. You can find him at CBSSports.com. His mock draft updated, I want to say, on Monday, has the Minnesota Vikings taking Trey Waynes, cornerback, Michigan State, at number 11. Did you know last year, though, superstar, Dane Brugler had Teddy Bridgewater, the number one player on his board, and a surprise that he fell all the way to number 32 in the Minnesota Vikings. This guy knows what he's talking about.
Dane, did you have Teddy Bridgewater on number one the day of the draft, or did that slide off like everyone else did, or did you really always have him there at the top?
He was number one for me throughout the process, and you know that's the great thing about Twitter and the internet is you know you can you're going on record by putting your stuff out there, and if you just Google 2014 final draft board, and you can find my final draft board posted a few days before last year's draft. Teddy Bridgewater was my top guy throughout the process.
That's incredible.
Starting once he declared for the draft and then through the draft. And so I don't know why he's still to 32, but I think he's going to make the Vikings look very smart for trading up and getting him. So, you know, we all miss on some of these guys that, you know, don't look where I had Odell Beckham, on that list. But, I feel pretty good about, you know, what happened last year. And, you know, we'll see how if Teddy Bridgewater, you know, how he progresses in year two and year three and how he does down the road. But after his rookie year, I feel pretty good about that.
Well, I do too, and I salute your stance and the way you stood your ground with all that pressure that was being placed on everyone that was trying to select and pick and mock draft it, and they all fell off after the pro day, except you. So I give you credit for holding on and sticking to your guns on that. That's a pretty tall task, and he did turn out to be, I think, one of the top rookies, if not the top rookie, offensively in the NFL. But that's a credit to you. But I just think that adding a couple more pieces to that with Teddy Bridgewater, mostly an offensive lineman for me, makes him that much better instantly. If we can just get Fusco back and Loadholt and one nice player that fits in that we know is going to fit in at left guard, I think that's going to be the case for Teddy Bridgewater's growth.
Yeah, and if you look at the way this draft could play out in the top 10, you hopefully it makes the way the top 10 plays out, it makes it easy for the Vikings at 11. Brandon Scherff, one of those wide receivers, Trey Waynes, those guys are taken, or, you know, one of them's available at 11. It kind of makes it easy for the Vikings to go with the player that's left for you. With Brandon Scherff, he's that plug-and-play guard at left guard. You plug him in from day one, he's going to play for a long time. Left tackle at Iowa, you know, I think everyone knows just how stout of an anchor he has, just a mauler in the run game, a player that just eats, breathes, drinks football. It's what he does. And so I think he's a plug-and-play player, a guy every team would love to have on the roster. You know, I know you guys like Trey Waynes a lot, and he's a guy that can impact the defensive secondary from day one. And then we know the wide receivers in this class and how deep it is. So if they don't get that wide receiver at 11, they can get a wide receiver later in the draft because it is one of the strongest positions this year. It's not quite what we had last year with 2014, but it's a very strong group. If you don't get that wide receiver early, there's plenty of time. There's depth in the second, third, fourth round to get another wide receiver. So this draft, it's going to be fun to see how it plays out in that top 10. We're going to have a few curveballs, I bet. And that could really change what happens for the Vikings at 11.
Round one of the NFL draft 1 week from today. We're talking to Dane Brugler, the senior NFL draft analyst for CBS Sports and NFLDraftScout.com. The superstar Mike Morris was on Trey Waynes, Michigan State cornerback, before anybody else was, before it became the sexy pick on most of these mock drafts. I think you had Devontae Parker going a long time ago. People started falling in love with the Vikings taking Trey Waynes at number 11. And now that is the case, the way we follow the Minnesota Vikings and Rick Spielman, we call him Dick Springfield, everything but his real name, Richard Springsteen, you name it. Because that seems to be the sexy pick now, it seems like Rick Spielman probably will not go that way because he likes to be smarter than everybody else in the room. He's probably going to trade down any scuttlebutt other than, obviously, when you do your mock drafts, you don't do any trading because that would just be confusing as all heck. Any idea what the Minnesota Vikings will actually do at number 11? I know you have the Vikings taking Trey Waynes, but if you could trade down, trade up, what are you hearing when it comes to the Vikings and the draft coming up next week?
Yeah, you know, I love mock drafts, but at the same time, I hate them because, it's fun to look at. It's fun to examine the scenarios. But over the last 7 years, we've averaged 6 draft day trades in the first round alone. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we do these mock drafts. We spend all the time doing them. But at the end of the day, throw them out because so much will happen that will just, one little wrinkle will send a ripple effect that could change how the first round plays out. And with the Vikings at 11, I mentioned before how that top 10 plays out, obviously, plays a big part in who the Vikings select at 11. Trey Waynes, I think you guys are all over it. He's a guy, when you look at the cornerback position, NFL teams, they want to see corners that can, play in press coverage. And that's something a lot of college defenses don't do. But Trey Waynes did that at Michigan State. He was asked to do that quite a bit. And you see it on tape. He knows how to anticipate routes. He can close very quickly on the ball, just really, really well versed in press coverage. And so that's something that will really help him at the NFL game. Now, does he get in trouble freelancing a little bit? Yes, he does. But at the same time, he has the speed and he knows he has the speed to make up for that. So I think, the Vikings, I would expect them to stay at 11. And, one of those guys that we talked about, Brandon Scherff, Trey Waynes, one of those wide receivers. And if one of those pass rushers falls to them at 11, you can't rule them out there. So I think the Vikings, good shot, they stay at 11 and take the best player on their board, which will be interesting to find out, who they who the brain trust with the Vikings, who they have at the number one spot. But good chance that it could be Trey Waynes.
I don't know if he's going to make it down to 11, but I certainly think that is the pick. They had a little debate last night on NFL Network between Trey Waynes and Marcus Peters from Washington.
I like Peters, but he's a basket case off the field.
He doesn't have the speed and the instinct though of Trey Waynes, and his size is good. Trey Waynes' size is good, but I just like
over 6 foot long arms. And you're right about Peters. I know of two teams who even have him on the draft board because they're just worried about the coachability.
Oh, yeah.
He's a talented player. There's no question about it. But factor in everything else, he's a tough player to bet on in the first round.
Yeah, no question. I still think either way, whether he had baggage or not, I still think that Trey Waynes is the better athlete, the guy with the instinct, the guy with the just the blazing speed that you mentioned already, Dane. And I think if he's there, if he's still there at 11, which I'd be surprised, if they don't just sit on their 11 pick and take someone like that, I mean, those kinds of players make an impact for years and years and years on your team. And for a long time, you know, barring injury, I'll put it that way. But he seems to be the guy, at least for me, and that would fill something that we definitely need as well, is the opposite corner to Rhodes. I think that would be the right guy.
Yeah, it would definitely be fun. Round one, obviously, a week from tonight in Chicago, talking to Dane Brugler, the senior NFL draft analyst for CBS Sports and NFL draft scout. In one of the papers here, we have two papers, two cities, Twin Cities. You get it, Dane Brugler, it's kind of a cute thing we got going on here.
Oh, I get that.
But anyway, in the St. Paul paper, is Denzel Perryman the answer at middle linebacker? He'll be there probably at the beginning of the second round. I'm obviously huge on getting a middle linebacker. I think that's the most important position on the defensive side of the ball. Denzel Perryman, give us a little rundown on him and the other middle linebackers that'll be available at the top of the second.
Perryman's a hammer looking for a nail. He's short, but he's not small. He's got an indestructible body type. He loves to play full speed at all times, going downhill, working off blocks, just a magnet to the ball in the run game. And the big question with Denzel Perryman is, what does he bring in pass coverage? I did a little bit of zone coverage in college, wasn't asked to do any man, and so I think that's a question mark right now with Denzel Perryman. But in terms of a thumper who's going to come downhill and be an enforcer versus the run, that's your guy. And, you know, we've talked about it before, but that second round is really going to be the sweet spot for those linebackers. And so, you know, whether it's Shaq Thompson out of Washington, Paul Dawson, TCU, and then Bernardrick McKinney, who, you know, I've mentioned before, I gave him that third, fourth round grade, a guy that I'm not very high on. He's at his best getting upfield. Maybe some teams even look at him as a pass rusher, not a player I trust in space. But I know a lot of teams like the measurables. You know, he has the speed that you want at the position. You know, his combine numbers were exactly what you want. So he tested well. I just don't see it on tape. I don't think it translates as well. But nonetheless, McKinney's going to be somewhere in that second round. And the Vikings brought him in for a visit, so you can't rule him out there in the second round area.
And Kendricks looks like he's flying up the draft board. Will UCLA. Be a first-round draft pick. I mean, obviously, it's all prognostication and mock drafts. But
The kid from UCLA.
I like him a lot.
Good players. His brother is a good player as well. But, Dane, thank you so much for your time. Maybe we can hook up one more time before the draft next week, next Thursday, and we can get our last sort of positioning and posturing before we get into that actual draft day.
That sounds great. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Dane Brugler. Senior NFL draft analyst for CBS Sports at NFLDraftScout.com.
And isn't his NFL draft guide, too, which you can download and buy online as well. And we'll tweet that out again. But he sent that to us, and I forwarded it on to you. 188 pages. They weren't happy with me when I printed it out. I printed out the whole thing. And everybody's like, you know, you got that on the internet, right? Yeah. You can look at it on the internet. Well,
so,
but I want
like
a paper
have a hard copy. Who doesn't?
188 pages. It took like 3 hours for it to print out because we've got an old printer. But
they can just
it was great.
Sit back and relax. We're a sports radio station. They can, you know, that's what we do. Yeah. That's what we do. We run copies of everything, and we copy everybody. But we are going to come back and do something. We're going to do exactly what we did yesterday. So it'll be a carbon copy of what we did yesterday and what we've done this whole time since, what, January 5th? Can you believe we've been on the air that long, you and I?
It's like it was yesterday. I love you so much.
It's been so good, man.
Face I love you more and more every single day.
Oh, you know, that's sweet. I love you too. Let's just get let's get that clear. Does anyone think that we're weird? We're going to do a 4.5 question thing next because we do that. 4:30. It makes sense? Yet? Does it make sense to you guys? We're going to do that next. So come on back. You can jump in on this too if you'd want to. 651-989-9105. Right here at Radio.
Was not good enough. And you combine that with the fact that they had a great start. So they were on top of their game and we were not even close to on top of ours. And so once they got up a couple, we got even worse.
God didn't exactly take off the way Mike Yeo wanted it to. It didn't exactly end the way Mike Yeo wanted it to. It had better take off a little bit better the next time around down in St. Louis. We're going to be in a little trouble. But if anyone thought the NHL playoff scene was going to be an easy one, I don't know what you're thinking. This is a pretty tough deal, man. I mean, honestly, I think in the NHL, it's about the toughest playoff system leading into the championship of any sport. Mm-hmm. It gets chippy. You have to be able to back it up. It's throwdown every single night. It gets a little more intense. You see the same guys every time. You just had a bad outing 2 days previous. You got to go. You got to go do it again. Mm-hmm. I mean, you talk about some feuding going on out there.
Ooh. None of the games have really been close. I mean, you look at game one was probably the closest, I would say. They had a couple of empty netters at the end of the game, but 4-1, the St. Louis Blues won game two, 3-0 shutout for the Minnesota Wild back home here, game three, and then last night, 6-1 debacle, just dominated last night. But the Wild seem to play their best hockey when their backs are against the wall and or if they're on the road, and that's exactly where they find themselves again. Let's just assume that last night didn't happen and be excited for tomorrow night's game, okay? Because according to the St. Paul police, someone on Craigslist was selling a single game ticket for $150 last night. That's not the problem. The problem was that the seller made several copies of that ticket and ended up selling it to, they think, 20 people all over the metro. While not happy about it, the cops are tracking down the bad guy. He ended up selling one ticket at a bar, one ticket at a restaurant, one ticket at a gas station, one ticket here at $150 a pop. And probably people buying it on Craigslist were like, oh, my God, that's a great deal, because they were going from $143 all the way up to like $450-some dollars. So $20 times $150. I mean, even though it was probably a blessing in disguise that these people bought this fake ticket and have to go and see the game last night, this world can be a terrible place. Was that you?
I didn't want to have to admit it, but I think I'm caught. So I want to go ahead and admit it now before they get to me. I can already feel they're getting closer and closer, but I think that now, I think it's pretty well known, what's happened, and the description of the guy will probably be the end of me. 6'5", about 280.
The guy wearing black mascara and black teardrops under each eye last night at Tom Brees.
And that's exactly what I had going on. So I'd like to just say right now, before I'm hauled in, to any of those people that I sold those tickets to, the bad stuff, I'm sorry.
Buying anything these days, though, seriously, if you don't have to worry about credit card fraud, somebody stealing your credit card money, or selling something on Craigslist with somebody, or buying something on Craigslist with the same exact thing happening with the Minnesota Wild, or
hacking.
I want to sell something and a Craigslist and they come with a check. Is it real? Is the money that they hand me real? I mean, I hate this world sometimes.
I do too. I hate, stupid. You know, I hate people.
Question two.
Why'd I say that?
Because you do.
Yeah.
The Twins avoided the sweep of the Royals last night in Kansas City thanks to Mike Pelfrey, won his first game since 1983. Just kidding. He had a stretch of 13 winless starts, so we'll talk.
Been around a long time.
We talk about the spunk this team shows from time to time when they're not being that miserable team struggling for mediocrity. But pitching has, again, been the problem this year, whether it's injury, PED use, suspension, lack of consistency. If the Twins find the heart of the Piranhas, which they used to have, like Torrey Hunter tried to do last night. Torrey Hunter tries to fire up the steam. He tried to steal home last night and darn near got it. This team is on to something if they find the heart of the Piranha, don't you think?
I definitely do. I think that they've been close in some of these, especially after they've sort of found a way to pull up their stirrups and say, giddy up. I mean, when all the other stuff went bad, Santana, Lasco. I mean, we were talking about some really, really unfortunate crap happening to our starting rotation.
Stauffer's terrible.
They pulled up the bootstraps a little bit. I admire the toughness of the mental approach that they had to have when they lost those two guys right away. And I think that it's a credit to Paul Molitor. I think it's a credit to some of the older guys in the locker room to keep it straight and steady and smooth. And that would be Torrey Hunter, maybe Joe Mauer. I don't know. Maybe not.
Come on, stop it.
Maybe not Joe Mauer.
I would maybe put it on Neil Allen, who's kind of keeping things together, the new pitching coach.
But maybe so. Maybe so. And I also think that it's a credit to Pelfrey, who's been around 32 years.
Question 80. Three.
Well, you said he, since 80.
It was a joke. You not take jokes very well? My God.
He hasn't been around for 32 years.
No, not playing professional baseball. Question 3. The NFL draft, we just talked to Dane Brugler 1 week from tonight.
Mm-hmm.
reading more and more about who might go where, and with pinpointed attention to obviously where the Vikings may or may not do, where they may trade, may take this position or that position. One mock drafter said the Vikings will go with wide receiver at number 11 because they really don't have any other holes to fill. I honest to God, read that.
Okay.
It's the damn internets. Okay. The Vikings are going to take a wide receiver at number 11 because they don't really have any other holes to fill.
Okay.
Am I just too close to this thing? Because obviously I see it. I see at least one massive hole, obviously, on the offensive line. Several other holes in the secondary linebacking core. To the rest of the league, do they think the Minnesota Vikings are pretty much stacked at their positions? They're just young and they need to get better? But I mean, I see there being several holes on this team.
Yeah, yeah. That running back thing hasn't been ironed out yet. That little running back situation. If you don't think, well, I'll tell you what. You can go ahead and get the receiver. That's great. There are three really, really, really great receivers in this draft.
Good receivers.
Good receivers. Okay, but man, is it going to be hard to pass off your back. But other than that, they're very good. They'll remain good until someone can throw them the football. And Teddy Bridgewater, by the way, could be a pretty damn good quarterback if you allowed him some time. He wasn't even close to being what he could have even been his rookie year had they been able to protect for him a little better. He had a tough year running around out there. And the high ankle sprain, and well, I don't know if it was a high ankle sprain, but it was a pretty good sprain, and he played with it because he's tough. He's a tough kid. And it's just a shame that he wasn't able to actually stand behind some sort of offensive line and pass.
Yeah, I immediately told that guy that said the Minnesota Vikings just don't have any other holes to fill, that we can no longer be friends. He's uninvited to my birthday party. Question four, I was watching the Wild game last night. We've been talking about that, a bunch of people that I know and love. And when I started talking to soccer with one of my biggest soccer fanatic friends, who can't wait until the United FC become a real deal here, MLS franchise in a couple years. He's a baseball fan who likes the Vikings, couldn't really care a lot about the Wolves and Wild. He kind of follows them if they're in the playoffs and stuff. Obviously, he hasn't even heard of the Timberwolves. They haven't been in the playoffs in the last 10 years. Soccer, obviously, a summer sport. I want to say they're going to play, the MLS schedule is 34 games. So 17 of them.
40 games?
34.
34, I'm sorry.
So 17, you do the math, 17 home games, 17 on the road, you would think. Do you think it's going to take away fans from the Twins or soccer fans, immigrants from all over the world? Who are these people?
That's a great question. That's why I wonder if we're the ideal place to place, you know, a soccer team, a big time soccer club. But I think that we are. I think that that is exactly what the Twin Cities has, is diversity in culture and everything.
Really?
I think there's plenty to go around. I'm just going to say it won't affect the Twins at all. And there will be a soccer crowd that wouldn't have gone to the Twins game anyway. There will be a soccer crowd that will fill their place up, and you'll never blink at the Twin Stadium.
As Chris Rock said, and we'll play a little clip from his HBO Real Sports stand-up comedy about black people not liking baseball anymore.
That's not true.
95% of people that went to the World Series game or whatever, we'll play that a little bit later when he breaks it down, the demographics and whatnot, but it seems like, and I hate to be a racial divide or go a racial bias or whatever, but you go to a Twins game and you see mostly white people. Right?
At what?
At the Twins game.
I don't know about that. I mean,
come on.
I think regionally.
Regionally?
You're going to run into that here.
I'd say regionally.
I just think that regionally, that's what this state is made up of, I think.
And that's what I was going to say. Regionally, don't you think Minneapolis-St. Paul is pretty white?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So he doesn't have a case. I mean, if it was more black, the population was different from 40-50%, and I think it'd be exactly right down the middle. I love Chris Rock. He's my favorite comedian. I'll stand by that. He is my favorite comedian. I love him. He's wrong on this. End of story. Just end of story. He's wrong on that. There are a lot of black athletes that still dominate the sport. I don't know what he's getting. I don't know where he's coming from on that.
But most,
or whether that's supposed to be funny somehow, because
it's the truth. Look at the demographics. Well, he said the San Francisco Giants won the World Series. They didn't have a single black player on their team last year.
Well, I mean, I don't know about that. I'm going to look that up right now. I doubt it.
I don't think they had an African American player on the San Francisco Giants last year. Well, I think the Kansas City Royals had a couple.
Let's also give credit where credit is due. Is that the Latin America baseball players are very good at what they do, and they've come up. That's their culture, and they have found a mainstay in Major League Baseball.
Because the rest of the world has given up on baseball.
maybe there's more to that than his case than black people don't like baseball. I don't think so, man.
My generation
I just don't think so.
Like baseball either.
That's not true.
The young people don't like baseball.
I believe that that's the case. You know, Generation X, they don't. They it's too slow. I believe it's too slow for them. It's pretty slow. It's slow for me. I still love the Cubs because I go all the way back to WGN. I had nothing to do in the cornfields of Iowa in the summertime when I was a kid growing up. There was nothing but cornfields, weightlifting, go out and throw the football, come in, watch WGN, all the way from Jack Brickhouse right up to Harry Carey, Steve Stone, and Lou Boudreau.
Blah, blah, blah.
But that's who I was then. That's all I had. Anyway, we're going to come back and talk the talk. What exactly are the Minnesota Vikings doing this week at Winter Park? We'll dig in on that one next.